It's take 41, not two. Indiana Jones review. We're gonna give it and give it and give it to you. Right off the dome. Was that song? All right, everyone.
That wasn't bad.
41.
That wasn't bad.
We got a big review. Big review. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. We're talking fave trailers, movie news. We're talking fave things we watched. What's it called? Sweet Film Meetup, Dial Destiny Review, Rank Indiana Jones Films, best, Worst to Best. That's it. It's your boy, the Sweet Keeks. Who do we got?
We got TC here. Yeah, man. I got to apologize. Last take, my intro sounded so flat. So hopefully I got more energy.
Hey, you know what? Some days you got it, some days you don't.
Yeah, but we're here. We're ready. Talking to Indiana Jones. And again, Sweet Film Meetup, July 21st, Barbie, July 22nd, Oppenheimer, Geneva Megaplex, be there. We're going to keep bothering and saying this so everybody's there.
Pull up.
Yes.
Barbie, let's have a girls' night out. Barbie, Friday, July 21st at 7:20. Pull up. And then we're just going to have a dour time with Oppenheimer. It's going to give us, both films are going to give us a little bit of existentialism. Both films are going to give us some highs and some lows. I'm very excited.
Yeah, should be good. Every time I see that Barbie trailer, I laugh. I think Barbie's going to be fun. I think Barbie's going to be hilarious.
I really have not seen any trailers since that first one.
Yeah.
So I'm going in pretty blind.
Good time. To be a trailer, I don't know if you've seen this trailer yet. I kind of want to just share my trailer real quick. Is that all right?
Yeah, do it.
The Dumb Money trailer with Paul Dano, Pete Davidson, about GameStop and the stock.
Mm-hmm.
Looks good. If it's kind of like Big Short, which I don't think it will be like Big Short, but it kind of has a little bit of that feel. Because, like, you know, just Wall Street and whatnot. But this looks like a really fun movie. So give me some more behind the scenes of that whole GameStop stock thing. Good cast, unique cast. I'm in. So I liked it.
You know, it's kind of it's reminding me of those, like, this big craze of, like, corporate biopics that's been happening this year.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why we've gotten, like, five this year.
Air, BlackBerry, now
Tetris.
Tetris, yep.
The Hot Cheetos one. And I feel like there's been one more. I feel like there's an obvious one that we're missing. But four, and it's literally, you know, that was within the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, kind of interesting. But I can dig it. Liked Air a lot.
BlackBerry was okay.
Yeah, you saw that one. Yeah, that's right. I heard Tetris is pretty good, too. I've heard, like, all of them are decent to good.
Yeah, I want to watch Tetris. That's the next step.
I think it just provides you with, like, an interesting story. It's like, Hot Cheetos, what the heck? How did that happen? You know? Yeah. Like, taking really obscure things and being like, this is how it got made.
Yeah.
I think we can all dig it.
I love
to
it.
A degree.
I'm in. I'm in.
I want to add this even more, because this week is the 4th of July, the United States Independence Day. Tomorrow is when it's happening. It's also the same day that me and Becky are going to Europe. TC, what is the movie? We're going to go a little bit into our patriotism, patrioticness, whatever the word is. What is the movie or the scene that makes you feel, I'm proud to be an American, you know, like that? I have my answer, and then I'm kind of, do you want me to share mine and kind of jump?
Yeah, I already
you?
Know what yours is, but share it.
I had to sneeze. It is the fireworks scene in Sandlot.
So good.
Yeah. Do you have one, or do you piggyback off that one? What do you think?
That's a good question, man. I almost kind of just want to go with, like, Independence Day when they blow up the spaceships. Bill Pullman.
Literally was the second one that I was thinking was the speech from Bill Pullman.
Yeah. Like that. Say what you want. Independence Day is a blast. That's a good one.
I don't think anyone would say anything negative about Independence Day. If you do, you just don't like movies. You don't enjoy having a good time.
My dad was telling me just the other day how him and my mom were waiting in line for like an hour and some more to watch Independence Day, like wrapped around the theater. That's a good movie to wait for.
I agree. We used to be a proper country. We used to be a country where you couldn't reserve your seats. We used to be a country where you'd wait in line. You'd wait and make sure you got to get to the theater early to make it to your screening. A proper country. What happened to us? How do we stray so far from God's light?
Would you not want to reserve seats anymore?
I honestly never had an issue with just general admission. I got there early. You get there like 45 minutes to an hour early and you're good. And you get to enjoy the Maria Menounos recap on Nuvi.
See, I like reserving your seats. I'm a big fan. I'm glad we have evolved to that. But I do get what you're saying, where it's like, it is kind of nice to wait outside, kind of chit chat, hype up the movie a little bit. But also it's nice to reserve your seats where you can have your seats and not have somebody stay while you go to the bathroom or concessions. And then people are like, well, they're not here. So
it's just my two cents, just my thought on that. So there you go. There's some patriotic feeling films, The Sandlot. Also, as a brief side note, The Sandlot, so I just rewatched it on Saturday night, has 8 perfect scenes in a row. The first half of that movie, you're like, oh my gosh, this scene is next, and then this scene is next. And then the last half of the movie is just them getting the ball back, and it brings it to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I agree. The first half is a blast. And then
the first half is literally every single scene has an iconic moment from it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, if I were to ask someone like, well, what's your favorite scene from the last half of the movie? They'd be like, I don't know, like the carnival? That's in the last half, right? No, it is not.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Still great. Still one of my favorite sports movies. Probably still my favorite. But I don't know. I got to find another good one because it could be dethroned.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't seen Sandlot for a while. It's been like 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. It's worth the rewatch to see how just incredible that first half is. So let's, I gotta bring up this trailer. This big trailer that dropped this week. I don't remember who told me it'd come out, but I was talking and someone was like, yo, the dude, was it you?
With me.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Dune 2 trailer just came out. I was like, what? So Dune 2 trailer. What do we think? 3 minutes long. That's special.
It looks good. It looks great. It's my most anticipated of the year. I'm ready for it. Well, I am ready for it, but I like the hype. Keep hyping it up. November, perfect time to drop. Just that fall, winter.
Yep.
Let it cook.
Mm-hmm.
Let it cook.
It's coming out like right after Killers of the Flower Moon, about a month after. Movie fans, I'm ready to eat.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get this buffet of great films coming in the fall.
Then December. I don't even think we have anything in December. Is Aquaman 2 coming out still in December?
Yeah, it is.
Oh god.
We haven't even gotten a trailer for that movie.
Yeah, Dune.
We haven't even gotten promotional stills for that movie.
Dune is just going to rock the box office for.
It is. It's going to get over a billion, I think.
Yeah. I mean, let me see what is coming out in like November, December.
I would love for you to say that, because as you do that, I'm going to go over the people. Can I do your movie news?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Superman Legacy. We got our Superman and Lois confirmed. I don't know why they're doing this. They literally have 2 more movies that they have to promote and have make money this year. And I just, the way that one of them is looking with Amber Heard in it, it's rough. So I don't know why they're announcing their Superman stuff to distract from the terrible box office performance of The Flash. But we've got David Cornsweet as our new Superman and Rachel Brosnahan from Marvelous Ms. Maisel as our new Lois. David Brosnahan, I believe, was in Hollywood, and he's been in like a couple TV shows. He's been in some good stuff. If I think right, David Bros, I think he was also in Pearl. Oh no, David Corenswet. David Corenswet. That's it. I think he was in. Wow, and he's 6'4". Gosh dang, he is. He is in Pearl. He's kind of like the handsome movie projector that Pearl falls in love with.
I love the memes of like Henry Cavill and Corenswet side by side. Look exactly the same almost.
Yeah, kind of. They do.
But a good Clark Kent Superman look, you know?
They're two handsome guys with brown hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, put me next to Henry Cavill and... Okay, no. I mean, I'm a handsome guy with brown hair, but... There's levels to it, you know what I mean?
There's levels.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Do you have any thoughts? What are your initial thoughts?
I don't really know the two actors that are casted very well. I haven't seen a lot of the stuff that they've been in, so I like it. I like new faces. It kind of reminds me of Daisy Ridley when she was casted as Star Wars. No one knew her. Same with John Boyega. No one knew them, and I thought they were great for.
I think to a degree, Henry Cavill as well.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Known. It's like I'd imagine it's a similar line as David Corenswet. So. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see, I guess, the two Skarsgård brothers are kind of what is it? Alexander and Peter are both up to do Lex Luthor. That's kind of the big rumor.
Ah, they'd be good. They would be good. Yep. I like it.
And then to show with that, the rumored cast of the Fantastic Four was supposed to be Margot Robbie as Mrs. Fantastic, Adam Driver as Mr. Fantastic, Paul Mescal as Human Torch, and David Diggs as The Thing, and that is apparently no longer happening.
Wow.
So we'll have to still wait and see with that one. Gotta wait and
see.
They
have to drop that soon. I mean, the movie comes out when? In 2 years? A year? 2 years?
Like, I think the next 2 years.
Marvel needs Fantastic Four now. Like, it needs it. It needs some cameos, some ball rolling, because it's Marvel's stale right now.
People are not getting excited about it. Nope. The new Secret Invasion show premiered to like its worst ratings of any Marvel TV show.
I haven't watched it. I don't care to watch it.
Nope. I watched like 15 minutes of the first episode and then I was like, meh.
Yeah.
Don't care.
Don't care. So, no, I like it. I like it. I'm excited for Superman Legacy. I'm just, like I said, I think DC's got a lot of good momentum right now.
I think so.
So, got to capitalize.
Have to. Okay. What's your favorite thing you watched this week?
Two things. Watched Unstoppable with Chris Pine, Denzel Washington. It was okay. It was good. It wasn't like, oh, that was amazing. And it wasn't like that was bad. It was like, yeah, it was fine. Like, it was like that B-, sweet grade still, sub 2 hours, buck and a half. I thought it was going to be a little bit more ridiculous action. It was pretty contained. There's just a lot of urgency of stopping a train that was on the loose, basically.
Yeah.
Just somebody flipped a switch and it's kind of like the Ohio, it's taken, you know, inspiration from the Ohio train that happened, I think, early 2000s. So, yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
Okay. I remember seeing trailers for that one when it came out.
And then watched No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence. Pretty funny. Especially the first half was kind of like a good, like, dumb, raunchy comedy. And then it becomes a little bit of a dramedy, which I didn't love the direction it went with the dramedy there at the end. But had some good heart, which I do recognize. Matthew Broderick was absolutely not casted well as the father of the kid. He looked so awkward. But Jennifer Lawrence actually is pretty funny. Like, she had some good delivery. So get her into some more comedies. I'd give that one a B-, probably more sour.
Okay.
On that.
I like it. I've been wanting to see it. It might be more of a...
It's a good matinee $5 Tuesday watch. No hard feelings. Go with some...
Good top of the morning, like we like to call it.
Yeah.
First showing of the day. Pull on it. Yeah. So, I watched... There's two things I want to talk about, and I'll be pretty quick about both of them. The first one is Past Lives. which is a drama about a Korean girl that immigrates to Canada and then goes to New York for school. And she has this like childhood love that they get really close, and then she leaves and it kind of leaves things unanswered. They rekindle everything like 12 years later, and they realize, well, we can't do anything with this, so let's just call it. And then 12 years later, they are in different chapters of their lives, and they're reconnecting in person for the first time. And incredible dialogue, great character like interactions, the cinematography, really, really awesome, very simple stuff, but the shots of New York, dude, you're gonna love just these simple, nice shots of New York.
Yeah, I love a good New York movie.
I know you do. So I think you're really gonna dig this one. And it's an A suite for me, the best script of the year. Very heartfelt, very realistic, very kind of grounded film. And I really, really liked it a lot. It does meet that hype that everyone's been saying. It's currently number 3 for me, behind How to Blow Up a Pipeline and Across the Spider-Verse.
Wow.
So it's great. Great, great film.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay. That's on my like to watch list ASAP. I'd love to see it in theaters before it hits streaming.
Yeah, I think it's one that you should try to. I think it's a good effort to make.
Yeah. The day I watched No Hard Feelings, I had some time in between work. We were doing like a little grand opening at our North location for Lace 'Em Up. Mm-hmm. So I looked for times for past lives. That's what I wanted to watch. Nothing. Like, not a good time that worked for me. I was like, yeah. So I was like, No Hard Feelings it is. Okay.
Gotta give it a watch. The other thing that I watched was there's a like a scientist, but he's kind of a ufologist, like a UFO spec expert.
Right up my alley.
Huh?
Right up my alley.
His name is Dr. Stephen Greer. He's made a lot of movies. Some of them are not very good and they're kind of rambling. Some of them, like the one that I just watched, it's called The Lost Century. And the theory it posits is we have had anti-gravity machinery. Yep, that's it. We have had anti-gravity machinery for the last 100 years that could have essentially provided equity for the world. It would eliminate our needs and reliability on fossil fuels. And it also goes into like the aliens and the UFOs that we got the technology from and stuff. And like, yeah, like when I describe it like that, it sounds kind of insane. But when you watch it, it honestly is very compelling. And even if it's all bullcrap, like the way that he structures everything makes it feel pretty believable. And if it's all real, then, oh, geez. Yeah. Life is just, we got no control over anything. And we're all just Truman in the Truman Show.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I need to watch. What service did you watch it on?
You have to like buy it on Amazon Prime.
Oh, okay. Worth it?
I thought so. I thought it was really interesting. It's like a buck and a half watch, too.
Oh, my mom would love that stuff. She loves like alien spirit theories and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
Okay. Check it out.
So that's it. But sometimes you can turn back time. Sometimes you can't. It is time for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, directed and partially written by James Mangold, starring Harrison Ford and Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Mads Mikkelsen and Toby Jones and some other people. He tells the story of Indy at the end of an era. He's into his retirement. Someone related to someone important to him in his past comes back into his life in order to retrieve a part of a watch that he tried to protect, and she's being pursued by some people that want to rewrite history, and they must go on a path, on a journey to find the other half. TC, what did you think of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny?
Surprised. I was pleasantly surprised. I was seeing a lot of reviews being trickled in. I try to stay away before movies that I'm like, I'm excited for, like Indiana Jones, I was excited for. But for like Dune, I don't want to know anything before I go into Dune. But like
for Indiana Jones, it's like, yeah, give me some what people are thinking. A lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people liked it. A lot of people were like, meh. I think I was in the spectrum of liking it and being surprised by it and having a good time by it. Mm-hmm. There are some nitpicks, which I'll get into, but man, some really cool action sequences. And I might be the minority here. I thought the ending was a blast. I actually really liked the ending. Felt a little rushed. We'll get to that maybe to some spoiler talk here soon. But it's Indiana Jones, and Indiana Jones, to me, it's a little slapstick. It's a little bit silly, but it's fun. It's adventurous. And I think this is what Dial of Destiny does. It does, you know, the slapstick stuff. It does the great action. It does kind of the puzzles and the, you know, treasure hunt for looking for a certain artifact pretty well. And yeah, I had a good time. Like I said, I liked it more than I was expecting to like it. And when that happens for me, I'm happy.
Okay. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned kind of like it's slapstick and it's a little weird and out there. I did not find that this one was enough of any of those things. Like, it wasn't, you know, you think about kind of that original trilogy and even Crystal Skull to a degree. And it's all like pretty weird and out there. Nothing about the, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the actual name of the Dial of Destiny, so I'm just going to keep calling it
Theorem. Huh? The Antikytheria Theorem.
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it. It doesn't provide the outlandish stuff that we're used to. Like, you know, you get the face melt in Raiders, or you get the like voodoo stuff in Temple of Doom, or you get like the heads getting chopped off in
drinking of the grail and just shriveling up into a corpse.
Yeah, exactly. In Last Crusade, and even like the insane alien stuff in Crystal Skull. I never felt that this one provided me with like that kind of weird serialized adventure stuff that I'm used to in Indiana Jones. There's not that one moment that you're like, oh my gosh, it's just kind of like a, oh yeah, fun. I guess the last 20 minutes you could kind of sit there and be like, okay, but it's not anything super crazy. It's just more like, okay, this is weird, because the Dial of Destiny, using mathematics, is able to pinpoint where fissures in time exist for time travel. I don't really know what that is, and it does not spend any time explaining it either. I'm curious to think, best part of the movie for you?
Oh, for me, I loved the action sequence, the chase scene when they're in the tuk-tuk, and I think Morocco, is that where it was?
I think so.
I think when they have that like little auction with the Antikythera, I think is what it's called, the Dial of Destiny, basically.
Yep.
And then Indiana Jones shows up. Teddy's there, which is kind of the new short round.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind Teddy. That was probably my favorite sequence. I love that. I love the beginning too. The beginning was great. The first 30 minutes was a blast. And I think that leads me to that other conversation. A lot of talks about the de-aging. I know a lot of people have had huge gripes with it. I think you kind of are like that, but I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it.
It's
I
just, you're always painfully aware that this is not actually Harrison Ford.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. I think they were smart to do it like during a darker setting of the movie, when it's like at night, when he's on the train and whatnot, there's a lot of movement. And I don't know if it's my projector screen, but we were not in like the greatest theater here in St. George for it.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked that St. George does not have like a really good theater yet.
Yeah, like, that's surprising.
I am like,
they don't have like a nice megaplex out there.
No, they're like two old theaters that have been transformed to a megaplex that are still using like the seats from the 80s. But hey, movies rock, even if they're older theaters.
Sure do.
So yeah, I liked the beginning. I loved the chase scene. And I love the New York parade too. I kind of showed that a little bit in the trailer. Those are some of my favorite sequences.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing for me that really sticks out, especially for these kind of, and I'll kind of give a clue into what I believe to being like my bottom end Indiana Jones movies, is that first trilogy is very practical. They built out the sets. The actual chase scenes are with real vehicles. Even if they're going like 10 miles per hour, you still feel that danger that Indy is in. Whereas in these, it's like, we'll just do a, you know, the train, the CGI train, and it's all going to be dark. So the VFX got to look good, but they don't have to look that good because, you know, we can rely on that. And I think that the lack of practicality in a lot of these set pieces to a degree is rough. And I do think that attributes to the fact that Harrison Ford is like 87 years old. Harrison Ford's just really old. And that is a big thing that is on the forefront of this film, is it's like, he's old. Times are changing. Like, and time might change. There's a lot of aspects of time that get put into play here. And I thought when it started, I was really interested because it starts and he's, you know, kind of like how the other one started. He's giving a lecture at the university he's at. But his life is different now. Like, Marion's gone again. And it alludes to like what's happened to Mutt. And the students are not paying attention like they used to. And so it's kind of like he's lost a step or two and he's not the same Indiana Jones that he once was. And while I like that, the fact that Harrison Ford is old does kind of make the movie, I don't know, lack that like power that the other ones have.
Yeah. I don't mind that he is older, because obviously he is, and it has like a new scope that like he can't do what he used to do. Mm-hmm. As you know, as good. So
yeah, but I still do think that they try to like on the horse, he's like riding through the subway.
I mean, he's still active. Like, he's still doing, he jumps from one tuk-tuk to the other one during the chase scene. I mean, obviously that was CG, but like, he's climbing up the ridge. I love that. Like, he's talking to his goddaughter about how he's like, I've been through a lot. Like, and he kind of does like a quick recap of what he's been through. So yeah, he is old. You could definitely feel it. I thought Harrison Ford was good in it.
He is. No, I think, honestly, I think like the main kind of Harrison Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, those three are great. Mikkelsen, honestly, if you need a European guy to play a villain,
just call Mad.
He's number one on your list. He's got to shoot to the very top of your list. And then maybe Peter Skarsgård is number two.
Yeah.
But he's just, he's gross. He's weird. Boyd Holbrook's character, I didn't love, because I'm kind of like, I don't really understand what that whole group is supposed to be.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed with his character, because I'd like him in like Narcos and Logan. He's a good actor.
He's awesome in Logan. He's a great villain in Logan.
And I just feel like James Mangold didn't use him to the best of his abilities. Like, he should have had, he was just a trigger happy assistant.
Yeah.
Like, man, he had his body count was high. So that was this is a high body count movie, man.
Very brutal. Like, the thing that's weird though is it's like they're really, really willing to just kill random people, but then when it comes to Indiana Jones, when they should have probably killed him at least three times, they don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think if you're gonna do stuff like that, it's like you gotta make some kind of effort, and they kind of do at the end.
Yeah. What do you think about Phoebe Waller-Bridge? Because I've seen some mixed reviews. I liked her. I thought she was
good. I thought she was just fine. I didn't have any issues with her character.
Can I throw you something? I love Sala and John Rhys Davies. Should have had more screen time, IMO.
Or not be in the movie.
Yeah, should have had more screen time. It was too little. And let me throw this out at you. Someone mentioned this, and I was like, this would have been a great time. I think the sequence that didn't grab me as well as the other sequences is when they go out to sea.
Yep.
Antonio Banderas' character.
Yep.
I feel like you could have omitted that entirely. That would have shaved 15 minutes off the movie and just had them know where the coffin is, and you just avoid that. I feel like that sequence just felt out of place for me.
It really did bring the movie kind of a bit to a halt for me. I wasn't really digging it. And I was kind of up and down a little bit with it up until that point, and that did not help its case.
Yeah, that sequence alone, I did like the eels kind of be like the new snakes. I thought that was kind of a fun little change, but that whole sequence for me didn't land as good as the other ones. How you would change that sequence instead of being at Antonio Banderas, Kiwi Kwan. Could you imagine? It's like, I know a guy, and Short Round is like the new diver. Like, he's found, you know, a new life.
He's or got something the like that. Hat still.
Dude, that would have been a great time to bring Kiwi Kwan back. People would have lost their minds.
I'm really curious as to why it could have just been scheduling conflicts. And also, they filmed it probably like before he was really hitting it massive. And I don't know. Yeah, it's very curious to me that like almost every other character that's been present in Indiana Jones is not in this film.
Yeah. So say Antonio Banderas, Kiwi Kwan there would have been a great replacement, would have been a blast, would have made that sequence a lot better, because that's what rethinking about the movie, that was the sequence I was like, okay, this is just hitting a lull here.
Mm-hmm.
And my other nitpick is the Dial of Destiny itself, the Dial of MacGuffin. Would have loved more background on it. Would have loved Indiana's friend, his understanding of it. Like the Viscera and Times, like it's just like, yeah, you just dial it here. And apparently this is like a real thing. Like this is found in a Roman shipwreck. And like it was like the world's first computer, quote unquote. So like the Antikythera mechanism, like go look it up. Like it's like actually like a real thing, not a time traveling thing, but like they obviously twisted it to be that. Mm-hmm. So pretty cool. Like,
okay. Actually, like the last act of the movie takes place in Sicily, and we will literally be there in 2 weeks. So cool. We're gonna go like tour the Ear of Dionysus, where they go to, and we're excited. We had no idea that like Sicily had this like cool stuff on it, so we're excited to go tour around. Overall, I think if you're looking for a satisfying conclusion in Indiana Jones, I don't know if this is quite it. I think you maybe just want to consider this being epilogues and extra episodes. I think you want to look at Last Crusade as kind of being that last one. I give the movie a B- sweet. Again, I just don't think it really lands where it needs to land. It's never as good as it needs to be. I think it is slightly more consistent than Crystal Skull.
Yeah. I'll give it a B+ sweet. I was pleasantly surprised. I have some minor nitpicks, as I mentioned. And I thought the ending was a blast. It has some good callbacks to what was said during the movies about Archimedes.
Is that Archimedes? Yep.
So, B+ sweet for me. Left me smiling. Had a good time.
I was going to finish it with like the Michael Scott quote. You always left me satisfied and smiling. As he's trying not to say that's what she said. Do we want to do spoilers? I don't know.
I'm good. I'm good not to.
Yeah, I think it's just good. Go watch the movie. Go enjoy it. We have a new Indiana Jones film in theaters. That alone should be like, yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of the great movie marvels ever.
Yeah.
And I would even to a degree say Last Crusade as well.
I love that.
Go watch Harrison Ford being the one of the best characters ever created on screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth your time still.
Oh yeah. I agree. It's a great summer movie watch. Bring the family. Our theater was packed just with kids of all ages. And then some elderly people were in there. It was great. It's good to see a theater with a wide range of age.
Yep.
Okay. Rankings real quick.
Let's do it. Okay. Number 5, I think it's just got to be what it is. It's Crystal Skull.
Yeah, that's my number 5 as well.
It's basically going to be what? 5 is Crystal Skull. 4 is Dial of Destiny. 3 is Temple of Doom. 2 for me is Last Crusade. And then Raiders. Does that sound about right? Is that kind of what yours is too?
Mine's a little bit different. I have Crystal Skull.
Okay.
I have Temple of Doom.
Oh, okay.
And then I have Dial of Destiny. I have Raiders than Last Crusade. I'm a Last Crusade guy.
I know quite a few people that actually feel the exact same way, is that they think Last Crusade, they like it more.
Yeah, I would rather watch Last Crusade over Raiders, surprisingly.
The interesting thing is, it's like Last Crusade, they were clearly like, okay, people just like want to watch Indiana Jones kill Nazis, so let's just do that again.
Yeah.
And like that was the right call. I think Temple of Doom just has not aged well. And honestly, like, I would almost be willing to pop Dial of Destiny over Temple of Doom. I don't know if it quite is. They're pretty close to me, just because like Temple of Doom is a rough watch.
I agree. It hasn't really aged as well. Willa
has not.
Not a good character.
And it's a prequel. It's super weird.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of people, speaking of which, on Films to Be Buried with Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
Which, this is what we'll be doing. We'll explain later. A lot of people mentioned Temple of Doom on his podcast, man. They love that movie.
I know that it was made during like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas's divorces. So that's why it's like way darker and weirder than the other ones, because they were all in kind of a weird point in their lives. But I don't know. Temple of Doom, it certainly is never going to be like a top Indiana Jones movie for me. It's just right there in the middle.
Yeah.
Now, do you think there is a chance that they try to spin this in the next 10 years and do something with Indiana Jones as a spinoff or some sort of adventure thing like that?
They'll make another Indiana Jones movie for sure. They'll do like they'll recast somebody who, and then like maybe do like a prequel of how he became to be. They'll do like a before Temple of Doom Indiana Jones movie.
They did have that show that was like the young Indiana Jones, but it's like from the 90s. I don't know. I would be interested if they recast and were just like, let's just go have some more adventures. I would be totally down for that.
Yeah. I can see them totally doing that. And
we need adventure movies. I love these kinds of movies. Everyone loves an Indiana Jones type movie.
They're so fun. Yeah. Adventure movies are great. So I bet they'll do something else again. They'll recast.
Yep.
Probably be for several years.
It'll be maybe after Harrison Ford passes. I don't know.
Yeah. Something like that. So love it.
We've had a good time. This is a great take. The next 2 weeks are going to be, there is a podcast that TC introduced me to. It is called Films to Be Buried With, hosted by Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent in Ted Lasso. He brings on guests, famous guests, and asks them, you know, tells them they've died, they're in heaven, gives them some questions they answer about movies that kind of describe them as a person. And we're going to go through those questions in the next couple weeks so that y'all can get to know us a bit more. Mine will be next week, so you'll get a Films to Be Buried With. You will get maybe one of the most embarrassing moments I've ever had on this podcast. You asked a question that I did not think we were going to ask, and I had an answer to it, but oh my gosh, like I was legitimately embarrassed as I was giving this answer.
What's so funny about that is that may be the hardest I've ever laughed on this podcast. So you got the most embarrassed to like TC's most hardest he's laughed.
Yeah.
It's a great take.
Yeah. And then TC's will be the week after while we're in Europe, you know, enjoying Europe. And then we're back with a triple header and the sweep film meetup with Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer, and Barbie. We're getting that hat trick in. We are very excited. Might be a really long pod for that one, but it'll be worth it. We're gonna have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah, really. It's gonna be great.
Everyone, go check out Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny. It's a fun time, worth your time. Movies rock, as always. And stay so sweet. Sweet.